South of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came up to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Before we get started, just a brief announcement. I mentioned a week or two ago that I might be doing another Expat Wisdom Seminar in January. That's 4 months from now, probably again in Central America. Since as far as expat living is concerned, we pretty much got that place all figured out. And like I mentioned a few shows ago, I'm compiling a list of people who are very serious about wanting to come this time. And I also agreed by popular demand to break the seminar cost down into 3 payments. Since I would always receive a few emails from people who couldn't attend one of my previous seminars because they couldn't come up with the money all at once. So by popular demand, we'll break it up into 3 monthly payments if you like. So to get on that mailing list, just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll get back to you with the updates. Now, let me start out today by saying that I still get emails every once in a while from people asking me about guns, firearms, either buying them down here or shipping your own down. And I ought to know because I've done all of that. I've bought them down here, shipped them down, and carried them around, legally of course, and even sold a few. Pistols, rifles, and shotguns. And not to worry, I actually know how to use one, maintain, and take care of them, too. And no, I was never in the military. It's just that when I was up in Chicago, I actually did take a course on gun safety and training. If I remember, it was about a 5-hour-long course that I took from a local Chicago cop sharpshooter who happened to own a gun store and shooting range. Now, you see, way back when, like 30 years ago now, if you bought a gun from that shop, they gave you the safety course and shooting lessons for free. And I didn't show up just because it was free. It has to do with how I feel about gun ownership. I think that one of the stupider things a person can do is go out and buy a gun, shoot a couple of rounds at a tree or some cans or a side of a barn when you're out with your buddies on a hike. In fact, back then up north, I knew a lot of guys who had guns who didn't really know how to use them. In fact, a very good friend of mine in my past life up north, who I won't name so as not to embarrass him, only to say that he's a nationally known oral surgeon. Well, he did the stupid cliche move of all time when we were out hiking in the woods as young teenagers with our .22s, he shot himself in the foot. Now, back then when we were teenagers, they just didn't have gun safety classes. You learned what you did about guns back then by going out with your dad duck or deer hunting. And if your dad didn't take you out, well, sometimes you'd shoot yourself in the foot. And believe me, as much as guys don't like to admit it, especially the macho ones, we've all had our close calls like that. And believe me, after that, you're the safest, most cautious gun in the West. Some of us need a close call every now and again. I mean, come on, when's the last time you almost rear-ended someone with your car? After you slammed on the brakes and squealed to a stop 1 inch from the other guy's bumper, I bet for the next couple weeks you were the best driver in Cleveland. Anyway, I digress as usual. So, about guns down here in Latin America, here's how it breaks down. As you might have figured, a country like Mexico, with a completely out of control group of narcos practically running the country, and the cops totally corrupt too, well, what do you think that government and its infinite stupidity did? It banned guns for the law-abiding citizens who want to protect themselves, which means gringos and foreigners, even those foreigners who have permanent residency, find it practically impossible to get a gun legally. Now, that's not to say you couldn't get one in about 3 minutes flat if you made a few phone calls, because there's always some guy in every neighborhood that knows how to get guns. But what I'm saying is, don't ever expect to be able to go to a gun shop and buy one on your own. Not in Mexico, you won't. Oh, sure, you can buy a pellet gun or a wicked-looking paintball gun, but you're not going to get a gun legally. Not anymore. Now, as for the rest of Latin America, except for Cuba, and you'll never be able to get a gun legally there either, unless it's an antique gun with historical value. And by the way, you can have antique guns in Mexico too. And whether it's considered an antique or not, it's up to the discretion of the firearms permit folks. And of course, as usual, since it is Latin America, a little mordida, a bribe, will go a long way. Now, as far as Cuba goes, no one but the military and the police are allowed to have a pistol or a handgun. However, a certain number of farmers and men living out in the boonies are allowed to have a hunting rifle, since protein calories are very scarce in Cuba, but squirrels, birds, iguanas, and snakes aren't. And you know, Cuba's one of the few places in the world, maybe the only place in the world, with fanatically strict gun control laws that is an extremely safe place to live. It's a country that has almost no violent crime. However, what you didn't know is that Cuba has a terrifically high level of domestic violence, mostly against women. And it's almost always spousal abuse. And since it is a macho Latin country, they're about 25 to 50 years behind on women's rights issues. In other words, you can still beat your wife there and get away with it. And you first world ladies aren't going to like this one bit either. The fact is, in practically every Latin country, domestic violence and spousal abuse are at near epidemic levels. But women rarely report it to the toothless women's rights organizations or the domestic violence division of the government. Yes, all Latin countries have equally toothless domestic violence bureaus too. In fact, I've driven by a lot of government buildings with high-sounding names like that, staffed by the usual lazy-ass government slugs. So women almost never file a complaint to the cops, even when they're bloodied up and end up in the hospital. And the perpetrator, which is almost always a guy, never goes to jail or even goes to court, much less fined or convicted of anything. Unless, of course, he actually kills his wife or girlfriend or rapes or impregnates his or a neighbor's kid. And even with rape, most of these twisted so-called Latin family men don't end up in court or in jail unless, get this, they're repeat offenders. So when you do, on the odd chance, pick up a newspaper and see a guy being led away by the cops for raping a young girl or two or three or five, if you read into the article, you'll see nearly all of the time he's a repeat offender and has been doing it for years. And women don't report it to the cops unless it's absolutely a life and death situation, because they know he'll come back madder than ever and beat him up again. And yes, that even occurs in the so-called upper, wealthy, educated classes. In fact, in all my years down here, I don't think I've ever met a Latin woman who hasn't admitted to being hit by a Latin boyfriend or husband. And of course, I do ask a lot of questions, but I do not ask every Latin woman I've met if she's been beat up lately. And you know, it's not so hard to collect that kind of information. And how you get it firsthand, without prying too much, goes something like this. When a couple of gringos are sitting around with a bunch of Latin women, and we're talking about the differences between our two cultures, well, that's a great time to bring up touchy subjects like husbands and boyfriends who are womanizing, boozing, and, well, slamming around their wives and girlfriends. I've been sitting with groups of Latin women at parties and things a number of times, and it seems like when they're in a group, they'll talk about it quite freely and make jokes about it and compare notes. But when you speak to them alone, one-on-one, they don't want to give up any personal information at all. So know that if you're at a party or at a restaurant sitting down with a number of Latin women, you can ask them almost anything, and they won't be embarrassed to talk about it. In a general kind of way, of course. But bringing up something like that one-on-one, unless you know that person very well, that would be a bit rude. But I was talking about guns in Cuba, wasn't I? Oh yeah, and like I said, it's one of the only countries in the world with super strict gun laws, where there really is very, very low violent crime. And that's because every private citizen in Cuba, and I mean everyone, is deathly afraid of the cops and the bureaucracy and what they can do to you if you commit any little crime or misdemeanor at all. In fact, if you or I were to report a local Cuban to the tourist police saying that he or she was harassing or irritating or just being abusive in any way, there's a good chance that a person like that will get picked up and shipped off to the boonies to cut sugar cane for the rest of his life. Don't laugh, I saw it happen myself with my very own eyes. So in Cuba, no one has guns except the authorities, and everyone's deathly afraid of anyone in uniform or a government authority. So that makes for a timid, humble society with virtually no violent crime. And that's just the way the locals live. And as for gringos, expats, and foreigners, of course, they can never have a gun either. But as for other crimes and misdemeanors, no matter what you've heard, as long as we're not talking about a foreigner committing rape or murder, believe it or not, we get a kind of a free pass and seem to have rights and liberties well beyond the average local Cuban citizen. And you wonder, how could that be in a strict, heavy-handed socialist society like Cuba? Well, because foreign tourists are the major source of Cuba's foreign income. U.S. dollars and euros, that is. Since the Cuban peso is inconvertible, they can only import products from the outside world, like cars and electronics and manufactured items, with dollars and euros. So that means to keep the tourists happy, there's a basic hands-off policy in general. And if there's ever a showdown, big or small, between a tourist, a local person or a local businessman, the tourist is always right. Which isn't fair, but who said life was fair? Now, there's another Latin country where crime is virtually out of control, where there are illegal guns practically everywhere, yet it's very difficult for an expat, even one with residency, even a local who was born there, to get a legal gun. And that's Brazil. And you know, that always makes me laugh because they're one of the biggest producers in the world of small arms. In fact, you might have heard of the brand name Taurus. T-A-U-R-U-S. Taurus. They make millions and millions of cheap, dependable handguns every year. In fact, it's a huge export business. Yet you and I, even if we were permanent residents, would have to jump through 50 different hoops to get one. And speaking of permanent residency, in the rest of Latin America, a gringo, expat, or foreigner only needs to have permanent residency to be able to go buy a handgun, or a rifle, or a shotgun. So remember, having residency in a Latin country is the key to be able to go out and buy a firearm legally. But you'll never get through the maze of gun ownership paperwork without having a personal lawyer helping to get you through the process. But of course, if you're at that point where you have permanent residency and you want to get a gun, you'll already have a pretty good relationship with your personal lawyer, since he would have already walked you by the hand through the residency process and probably an SA corporation and a bank account too. Not to mention he probably helped you with the paperwork when you bought a car, rented an apartment, or started a business, bought some property, made a will, created a trust, any number of things. Well, you get the idea. You're going to need a lawyer for all that stuff, and whatever else comes up. And I firmly believe this. If when you first started out with your lawyer, you liked the guy, he accomplished the first few things you asked him to do, in a reasonable time and at third world prices, well then you should definitely keep that lawyer, for all the other things that might come up where you'll need one. Do not, I repeat, do not jump around from lawyer to lawyer. Unless, of course, you're unhappy with the first guy. You see, the thing is, since you're in Latin America, you want to develop a solid, permanent, long-term friendly relationship with your lawyer, because this guy knows everything about his country, the ins and the outs, the good, the bad, the ugly, and all the internal political and governmental machinations and gossip that you're just not privy to. For example, he knows who the solid citizens are and who the crooks are too, and he knows what banks are stable and which ones are teetering. He knows the areas of town that are on the rise and which ones are slipping. He knows the movers and shakers and the pretenders. Who's got the real money and who's all hat and no horse? A very good thing to know if you're investing in anything or renting or buying. You get the point? And over time, he's the guy you want to ask if you have any questions, not just about legal things either. He'll be just a terrific resource of information for you. You really want to keep this guy in your corner. Now, for example, if you're thinking about which school you want to send your kid, he'll know things that even us long-term expats would just never pick up on. So what I'm saying is this, try to make him kind of a one-stop shop for your needs, because after all, if you do that, you can call him up 24/7 and ask him pretty much anything. And he'll be glad to give you the lowdown, no charge. Not like lawyers in the first world who will always have you on the clock. Now, when you're down here off the tourist trail like me, you'll find that lawyers do not put you on the clock and charge you when you phone up. I suppose they'll get around to it someday, but for now, there's a huge lag time with that too. Lucky for us expats, right? Though I have heard on the tourist trail in places like Panama and Costa Rica, lawyers there have picked up on all the bad first world lawyer habits. In other words, they're really not your friend. They're just bad copies of sleazebag first world lawyers. And believe me, if you have one lawyer for this and one lawyer for that, not only will you be spending more money than you have to, and possibly be reinventing the wheel, you'll not have the confidence or the friendship of any of your multiple lawyers. They'll just be a mechanism that you use to get legal work done. And what you really want in Latin America, a place where the legal systems are a literal maze, is one lawyer that becomes a personal friend of yours. A general purpose lawyer who you take those easy first steps with. And if you want something complicated done, that's over his head. Let's say you want to build a beachfront resort or a hospital or a geothermal power plant or something. Just let him find the expert legal help that you're going to need. But always keep your original friendly lawyer in the loop. Now, I know some lawyers in Latin America who've been able to get their gringo clients a gun after that gringo has only just received his temporary residency. And that temporary residency process can take anywhere from 3 months to a year. Whereas the permanent residency could take 2 or 3 years. Now, a lot of expat wannabes and expat gonna-bes, and I have to thank one of my faithful listeners, Robert, for coming up with that one. expat gonna-bes. I like it. In fact, an expat gonna-be would be an expat wannabe who's got off his or her butt and has been making some solid concrete plans to actually leave. Anyway, a lot of would-be expats up north want to know about shipping their own guns down. Well, like I said, in Mexico, Cuba, and Brazil, forget about it. And the fact is, every other Latin American country has such high import duties on shipping guns in, even if they're your own guns, that you'll actually be paying for your guns twice. So you're much better off selling them up there and coming on down here and buying them. And yes, there's every make and model down here. But in most cases, you'll be paying double for them down here, too, since retailers will slap that high tax right onto the buyer. So either way, you're not going to get by cheap. Now, for example, if you come down here and buy a .357 Taurus revolver, a very solid, inexpensive, and dependable piece of work, which would cost you maybe $200 to $300 in the States, well, double that down here. And as far as used guns, well, you see them in the papers all the time. And as human nature would have it, you won't get any deals there either. People who own property of any kind always think it's worth more than it really is. In fact, I can't tell you how many times I've seen, for example, a used Glock in the paper for maybe $1,500 to $2,000. And that's about what you could buy a new one for down here. It seems to be a human frailty that we all think what we have is worth more than book value. In fact, ask anyone who owns a piece of nice jewelry, for example, what they think it's worth, and I guarantee you, market value will be half that or less. Yep, we're all stupid about some things, that's for sure. And one more thing, down here, the top shelf royalty of guns, the one every guy wants to have, is a Glock or a Sig Sauer. And like I said before, you're looking at $2,000 or more. And because it's like having a Rolex or a Mercedes, guys who have them love to show them off. In other words, they rarely keep them concealed or hide them. They like to have them hanging off a holster belt, kind of like a penis extender, you know? But the effect they're looking for only impresses guys, not the women. Oh, and by the way, once you've bought a gun down here and have it registered, which will take 2 or 3 days after you actually purchase it at the gun store, you'll get a little plastic ID card. Oh, and as for that 2 or 3 day wait, and that's by no means a cool down or a waiting period like they have up in the States. That's because there's just so much red tape and paperwork. That's why you need your lawyer. And by the way, if you buy a used gun from someone in the paper or someone you know, it'll be your lawyer that transfers all that paperwork to you, so you'll need him then too. And I assure you, no matter how good your Spanish, you won't be able to do that one yourself. Because you see, he's the one that's going to check that gun out to see if it was properly registered in the first place. And he'll check and see if the guy's up to date on his licensing fees. And he'll check to see that no crimes were committed with that gun. And I don't care how good your Spanish is or how much of a cheapskate you are thinking you can do it yourself. All I gotta say is if you start that process yourself on January 1st, I bet you'll still be standing in one government line or another when you're old and gray. Anyway, like I said, when you buy your gun and finally get it registered, in nearly all Latin countries, you'll get a personal plastic ID card that says you're a gun owner, with your headshot and fingerprint too. And it'll have the guns you own listed on it. So if you get pulled over by the cops and you have that gun on you or it's in your car, you'll have to show them that card too, or you'll be in big trouble. Sometimes. I say sometimes because if you're an upscale, businessman type looking gringo, and your paperwork is not in order, and you don't look like a typical bad guy, narco, sleazebag, criminal, or whatever, there's a decent chance that you can buy your way out of it. After all, Latin America is the land of the bribable cop and politician. And if you remember, down here they call it mordida, which technically means taking a bite. Taking a bite out of your wallet, that is. Now, I know I mentioned this a couple of years ago, but it's worth repeating. When you get pulled over by the cops, which they probably will never do, because, like I said before, cops down here do not do high-speed chases. But you might get singled out by the cops at one of those multiple roadblocks you see in every medium and large-sized Latin town. Though if you plan to stick around in a particular town or city, you'll know where they set those things up and you can avoid them. Or do as some gringo expats do and just wave politely, play stupid gringo, no habla español, and that almost always works. However, sometimes you just can't avoid getting pulled over, especially if the traffic is moving very slow alongside the roadblock. Then they can just kind of bullhorn you off to the side of the road. And in that case, the first thing the cop's going to ask is, porta arma, which means, are you carrying a gun? And if you are, you better say, sí, señor, and show him that little plastic card with your face on it that gives you permission to carry such weapon. Now, I gotta tell you, I know of a case or two where a gringo did have his gun in his glove compartment, but did not have that little plastic gun registration card on him. Now, he knew, technically, that his gun was legal, but he also knew that since he didn't have the card on him, the cops had every right in the world to take his gun away and tear his car apart looking for other guns or contraband. And then they'll take you down to the local precinct and make you wait down there till your lawyer shows up. And if it's the weekend and your lawyer's out of town, you might end up spending a night in the clink. So in this case, in fact, in a couple of cases that I know, this one friend of mine knew everything was legal. And being an upstanding, clean-looking gringo, the cops actually believed him. So they gave him the option of going down to the precinct, screwing up his whole day and maybe spending a night in the clink, or pay a little bribe. Mordida, the bite. And guess what they wanted for Mordida? The gun. Now, your guess is as good as mine as to what the cops did with that gun, but I'm sure they didn't keep it. They sold it. On the black market, of course. What other market is there for guns taken from gringos on routine traffic stops? So the moral of that story? Always carry that gun registration card. Oh, and one more thing. Since I get a certain number of emails concerning drugs down here in Latin America, especially since most people now know about Uruguay and how almost all Latin countries have more or less decriminalized marijuana in personal amounts, and even if Latin countries haven't actually passed laws to that effect, the cops kind of leave you alone as long as you're not toting a pound or more down the street in a see-through Ziploc bag. But the email question I seem to get all the time is, won't the cops, when looking for mordida from a gringo, pull him over at one of those stops and plant some dope on him? Then they can really put the screws to him because he'll be scared out of his wits and pay anything since he is in a foreign country and he's heard about Latin jails. Well, you know, there's a simple answer to that. When you're off the tourist trail, there are so few gringos around that it would be a completely foreign concept to a cop, who, believe me, have a 6th or 8th grade education at best, to carry around a ready stash of dope, just on the odd chance that a gringo will pass by at a traffic stop to do some dirt on. Well, let me just tell you, in my 20-something years down here in Latin America, 18 years of it off the tourist trail, I never once met a gringo or expat that's ever happened to. I mean, off the tourist trail now. Because remember, like I said, when you're off the tourist trail, even in the biggest, most crowded of cities, you can often walk around for hours and hours and never see a single gringo. So for cops looking to scam gringos there, it's not a very good plan. Though I have heard of a few dope planting stories in Mexico, naturally, and in Costa Rica. So there's another good reason to stay off the tourist trail. Anyway, where was I? Oh yeah, by the way, once you have a gun down here, you'll have to pay a yearly registration fee too. And it's not cheap, like you might think, because you're in Latin America, where almost everything is much cheaper than up in the States. The fact is, you might pay 50 or 60 bucks a year to register that cheap tourist that's only worth maybe 500 or 600 bucks down here new, and half that in the States. So you're looking at 10% of the value of the gun. And ammo will cost you twice as much down here too, which is why a lot of locals who belong to gun clubs, and therefore have legal guns, reload their own. Oh, and by the way, for example, if you buy a used gun, and it's an oldie but goodie, let's say 20 years old, and the original owner just kept it in his house, and he never paid the yearly licensing fee. Well, it's just like every other tax here in Latin America. It just keeps accumulating, and no one comes after you. No one knocks on your door and tries to make you pay it. That is, until you try to sell it. Then either you or the original owner is going to have to pony up. It's the same thing with property taxes down here. You're supposed to pay them every quarter, but some people don't pay them for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. But no one comes after you or knocks on your door. It's not like in the States. If you don't pay your property taxes for 2 years running, they'll put your house on the auction block. Up in the States, even if you've completely paid off your mortgage, you really don't own your house. And if you think you do, just quit paying your property taxes for a couple of years. Anyway, that's another great reason for living down here in Latin America. Besides the fact that property taxes are so ridiculously cheap anyway. So down here, the government will not come after you if you don't pay. Though you might get a bill in the mail from them once in a while. and the interest and penalties will start really adding up. Anyway, like I might have mentioned in a past show, at least 1 month a year, the local municipality that you live in, or where your property is located, will waive all the penalties and interest if you pay in that month. So that's why people don't pay for years and years and years. And you wonder why once a year, every municipality exonerates the interest and fines on all those past due property tax bills. It would seem quite self-defeating, considering all the extra dough they could get when a guy finally sells his house, and therefore has to pay up. So why would they do that? That's because Latin municipalities are always broke. The mayor and his cronies are forever looting the municipal treasury. And they know that once a year during that exoneration month, they can expect another big wad of cash to flow into the municipality so they can just loot it again. And the same thing goes for traffic fines and traffic tickets too. Every year they also have an exoneration month. And then a big wad of cash flows in and the crooks in charge steal that too. But we were talking about guns, weren't we? Oh, and get this. The Latin cops are very tolerant when people discharge their weapons in public. I don't mean discharging their guns at other people. I'm talking about the Latin propensity to shoot their guns up in the air during parties and fiestas and New Year's and national holidays. And of course, no one's out to shoot anyone. It's just happiness macho style, which psychologists might unofficially call the biggest dick on the block theory. And by the way, if you see that in the psychiatric journals, they stole it from me because I thought of it first. Now, I have to mention, this rarely happens in upscale neighborhoods. It's mostly the middle and lower class macho jerks that take to the street with their guns. And I'm not saying it's an epidemic either. I've seen it quite a few times, but it's not like everybody runs out in the street and shoots off their guns, like drunk Mexican banditos in a bad Hollywood movie. But it's enough of a problem that you actually see billboards and signs in various Latin cities warning macho guys not to shoot their guns because of stray bullets. I mean, where are they going to go, right? What goes up must come down. Fact is, on some of these fiesta days and nights, like New Year's and Christmas and stuff, there's just so many powerful, deafening fireworks going off, you wouldn't even know if a .357 went off two doors down from you. And one last thing about guns. When I first came down here in the early 90s, I did the drive from Mexico all the way down to Panama. And I remember distinctly when I was driving the Pan-American Highway through Honduras, Guatemala, Salvador, and Nicaragua, every so often when I'd pull over to a little tienda, a lady would be making tortillas and sandwiches. And right behind her would be, get this, a row of guns, AK-47s cheap, like $100, left over from their Civil War. Nope, I didn't buy one, and it's not like that now.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos.
She was a picture. He knows.